Okay, we're up to the first Mishnah on Minim and Aleph. It's like pretty far down, yeah. Kol Shechayev B'Maisros. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Kol Shechayev B'Maisros Metamei Tumas Ochlin, V'yesh Shemetamei Tumas Ochlin, V'eino Chayev B'Maisros. Is it where?
50A2 or 3.
It's like the middle,
the Mishnah.
Going towards the bottom, on Minim and Aleph.
50A.
Oh,
Yeah. It's a small Mishnah. So again, this Mishnah, Mishnah is continuing the themes that we spoke about a lot yesterday and the day before, which are a lot of kind of random halachos that are set up in this format, where the Mishnah says anything which is chayiv and maiser, by definition is able to become tameh with tumas ochlin, which means that if it's a certain shear, it can become susceptible to becoming tameh by contact with food, with things that are tameh. But the opposite is not necessarily true. Just because something is tameh but tumas ochlin, it doesn't automatically make it chayiv and maiser. So the Gemara says la'asuye mai, la'asuye basar v'dagim u'beitzim. So meat, fish, and eggs are all things that are theoretically, metame tumas ochlin, they can become tame, but none of those things are chayiv and meiser, which we'll talk about in the Gemara a little bit why that is. Okay, so the next Mishnah says, Kol shechayiv b'peya, chayiv and meiseros, v'yesh shechayiv and meiseros, ve'eino chayiv b'peya. So a similar idea, right? The Mishnah says that if something is chayiv and peya, right? Peya means you have to leave the corners of your field over for the aniyim. If something is chayiv and peya, by definition, it's also chayiv and meiser, but not everything which is chayiv and meiser is automatically chayiv and peya. So once again, the Gemara asks, La asuye mai, what is that line in the Mishnah coming to include? La asuye te'ino v'yerek she'eino chayiv b'peya. Figs and vegetables in general are not chayiv and peya. How do we know that? This now the Mishnah in the beginning of Masachas Peya says, klal amru b'peya. There was a general rule that Chazal set forth regarding peya. Kol shehu ochel, v'nishmar, v'gidulo min haaretz, u'lekitaso ke'echad, u'machniso lekiyam, chayiv b'peya. So the Mishnah gives us a number of criteria that must be met in order for an item to be chayiv and peya. The first is that obviously it needs to be ochel, it has to be actual food. The second is that it has to be nishmar, it has to be protected. The third is that it has to grow from the ground. The fourth is that likitaso ke'echad, which basically means that everything ripens and is harvested at the same time. And then the final one is machniso likiyam, which means that you have to gather it in for the purposes of preserving it. If it's something which goes bad very quickly, then it's not chayiv and peya. So the Gemara now explains,
what is nishmar mean?
The Gemara is going to explain each of these right now. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ochel lema'ute sfiche stim v'kotza. So when the Mishnah says that it has to be food, so that comes to exclude, these are different kinds of plants that are used for dyeing purposes. So for dyeing. So therefore these don't qualify as food. V'nishmar lema'ute hefker, something which is hefker by definition is obviously not protected. V'gidulo min ha'aretz lema'ute k'meyim u'pitrios.
Mushrooms grow it for the sake of hefker, or a field became...
No, no, no. If
it had all these qualifications, but it became hefker.
Yeah, if you were mafker, then it's no longer chayv and pay. Yeah. In other words, it has to be currently...
That's a trick to avoid it.
Yeah, in theory. I mean, I don't know if that's
so
the right thing to do. But yeah.
Then what do you do then? You have a financial loss.
No,
well...
And then you grab it.
Well, no.
It's a haram.
Well, once you grab it back, you're going to be chayv anyway, because now it's protected. If you are mafker your field and then you reacquire it, it's no longer hefker. So then you would be chayv again.
Not reacquire the produce.
I don't know. I don't think you can do that.
No, that's haram, of course.
No, I know that's haram, but I'm saying I don't think that works. That's meaning you can't acquire... The Gemara Bava Basra discusses various forms of kinyanim, where let's say, for example, you want to be kona a tree, you want to be kona only the fruit. It's not so obvious you can only be kona part of a field, and you can only be kona the fruit on the field. You might have to acquire an actual piece of the field in order for you to be kona part of the fruit. Okay, so then the Gemara says that when the Mishnah in Peah says gidulo min haaretz, that comes to exclude kimeim u'pitrios, which are mushrooms and truffles, because the Gemara assumes mushrooms and truffles are funguses, so therefore they don't actually grow from the ground. The Gemara assumes that they grow from the air. Right.
Find truffles and mushrooms like out in forests.
Right.
Also,
the Gemara assumes that mushrooms and truffles are sustained from the air, whatever that means. So the Gemara what it basically means is that they're just funguses or the fungi, and therefore as a result, that by the way, that's why we also make shahakal on mushrooms, not hadama, because they don't technically grow from the ground.
Really?
Yeah, they're fungi. They're not vegetables.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
If that's something that affects you. Okay. So. Okay. Well, if you come back in a few weeks when we start brachos, so we'll talk about that.
Last time you ate.
Okay.
What was the last time you ate a mushroom outside of a meal?
Okay. Then the Mishnah said that it has to be something which you gather at once. What does that mean? Lema'ute te'ina. So apparently figs, the way that figs ripen, they take a while, meaning it's not like, you know, the whole fig tree ripens at once. You know, part of the fig tree ripens, you know, 1 week, and the next week, you know, the rest of it ripens. Umachniso leki lema'ute yarek. Right? Vegetables go bad relatively quickly, so that's not something which you can preserve for a long time. V'ilu gabi ma'iser tanan koshu ochel v'nishmar v'gidulo min ha'aretz chayav b'ma'isros v'ilu l'kitaso ke'echad umachniso l'kiyom lo katane. If you look at the Mishnah when it describes the criteria for something to be chayav and ma'iser, so the first three criteria are identical to peah, but the last two are omitted, namely the one about things ripening at the same time and things being gathered to be preserved, which is exactly what our Mishnah started out by saying, that figs and vegetables are excluded, because those are the two things that were included from those last two criteria from the Mishnah in peah. Okay, then the Gemara continues. However, im hayu bahem shumim uvitzalin chayavin. But if, let's say, amongst your vegetables or whatever, you have onions or you have garlic growing, so then the Gemara says that even though you have vegetables, that's going to be chayav and peah. What's the basis for that? This not because the Mishnah peah says malbinos bitzalin shebein hayarek. Rabbi Yosi omer peah mikolachas viachas vachachamim omer meachas ala kol. So we have a machlokas in the Mishnah and peah regarding the following. Let's say you have, let's say, you know, in your garden, so you have regular vegetables, and then you also have onions kind of scattered. You have these beds of onions scattered throughout the garden. So there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Do I need to separate peah from each and every individual onion bed, or can I take off from one and cover the entire garden? But the bottom line is that either way, you see that when you incorporate onions into the garden, whether you think that every patch of onions is chayav and peah or just one of them, there is going to be a chi of peah to some extent.
Yeah. Let's assume this table was my garden.
Yeah.
So each one of the four corners is chayav and peah.
Assuming that we're talking about things that are chayav and peah.
Yeah. Each one of the four corners. Is that I can say one covers the whole group?
Well, again, in the case of the onion, so that's a machlokes.
You're saying a general question.
So again, assuming that we're dealing with those types of things that would theoretically be chayav and peah, then yes, then you would have to separate. Peah has to be left from each corner of your field. How much you have to leave is a discussion. That's a discussion in the Mishnayos and Peah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So now the Gemara has another case. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ulshin Shezra'an Mitchila Levehema. V'nimlach Alehen La'adim. So imagine a person is planting endives, and initially he wants to feed the endives to his animals, and then he decides he wants to eat them himself.
It's like a
type of lettuce, right? So he decides that he wants to then eat them himself or feed them to people. So on top of them bees, Srichos machshava lichashe yislashu. So the Gemara says that in order for those endives to possibly be able to become tamei, you need to have a machshava that you want to eat them yourself, or that people want to eat them once they've been plucked out of the ground. In other words, if you change your mind while the endives are still in the ground, now you say, oh, you know, I want to eat them myself, that's not going to help you. Those endives will still not be makabel tuma. They'll only be makabel tuma if you changed your mind once they've already been plucked out of the ground. So the Gemara explains, kasavar machsheves chibur lo shma machshava. It's obvious from this line in the Gemara that having intention for something while the item is still in the ground doesn't really mean anything. It's a meaningless intention. Meaning, in order for something to qualify, in order to be able to theoretically become tame, for example, we know that one of the many things that need to happen for a fruit to be able to become tame has to come into contact with the liquid, which we're going to talk about in a second. Let's say you have an apple and it's been raining for the last 3 weeks, but the apple is still attached to the tree. It doesn't do anything. The apple is still not able to become tame. It needs to be detached first. So it's the same idea here too. In order for your thought process to make something able to become tame, it must first be detached from the ground. Amar Rava, Afana Nami Tanina. We also have a bright. We have a Mishnah it's a Mishnah in Maseches Taharos that also supports this idea. Yud Gimel Dvarim Nemru Ben Nivlas Oth Tahar. There were 13 halachos stated regarding Nivlas Oth Tahar. We spoke about this last week, but the idea of a Nivlas Oth Tahar means when you swallow a kosher species of bird that died without shechita. So the halacha is that even though by touching it nothing happens to you, when you swallow it, it makes you and your clothing tameh. So one of the halachos, the Mishnah says, Vezeach Man. The Mishnah says that in order for that bird to make you tame, you need machshava. In other words, you need a thought process that you want to eat it, but you don't need hechsher, meaning the bird does not need to come into contact with one of the seven liquids in order for it to make you tame. So Alma, what do you see from this Mishnah? Machsheves chayim lo shma machshava. Hachanami machsheves chibro lo shma machshava. Just as in the case of the nivlas of tahar, any thought process that you have about the bird while the bird is alive is meaningless. You have to wait for the bird to die before thinking that you want to eat it in order for it to make you tame. So here too, in our our case regarding the endives, if your machshava is only when it's attached to the ground, it doesn't mean anything. However, the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira Amar, no. Haka begozo shenafal min haruma skinan, de lohava kaman de lach shovaleh. Comes Rabbi Zeira and says, maybe not. Maybe the case of the bird is as follows. Let's say there was a bird that was perched on a really high roof, and the bird fell off, and then it died and plopped right in front of you. So in that case, it was physically impossible to have in mind that you wanted to eat the bird beforehand, because you didn't know that the bird was even there. The bird fell from, you know, 20 feet, whatever it was. So he says that maybe that's the reason why it's not going to make you tummy, because the bird wasn't there. Implying that if the bird was in front of you, then maybe theoretically having a thought process, even when it was alive, would be enough to, you know, to enable the bird to make you tummy.
So,
the bird, in other words, you didn't even know there was a bird anywhere, and then all of a sudden you see a bird falling out of the sky, it drops to the ground.
Then he consumed it.
Right, exactly.
So how did he consume the machshava?
I mean, you can eat the bird. The only question is the bird going to make you tummy? That's the issue. Yes, but just because something is a nevela doesn't automatically mean it's going to make you tummy. There needs to be machshava that you want to eat that bird also, right?
If you want to eat a nevela bird?
Yeah, machshava that you're planning, that you're going
to... They planning to do an avera?
Well, more than that. No, machshava that this bird qualifies as a nivlas oftar, meaning, in other words, we thought before in the Gemara that if I see a live bird and I say, I'm planning to eat this nivlas oftar, then that's meaningless. Now the Gemara said, well, maybe not, because the implication of this answer that Rabbi Zeira gave is that the only reason why I didn't have this machshava is because I didn't even know the bird was there. The bird fell out of the sky. That's, in other words, implied that in a normal situation, if I see the bird and I have a machshava and then I eat it when it's dead, it sounds like that would also make me tummy.
The question is my machshava to eat in a vela, or is my machshava just to eat that bird?
Well, that bird isn't a vela. Bird is a nivlas otar.
There's a difference.
What's the difference?
I'm saying why would that matter? I'm saying like at the end of the day,
well, how can you eat without a machshava?
I mean you can do whatever you want. You say No, that's not the case. The point of Rabbi Zeira's answer is that you didn't know the bird existed until 3 seconds ago, right? That's the point. So
how
the implication
How much time you need?
I don't know. The implication of Rabbi Zeira's answer though is relevant for our Gemara, because it sounds like that in a normal case, if the bird is right in front of me and I have a machshava to eat it while it's still alive, in other words, I have the machshava when it's alive. No. It does make a difference. That's Rabbi Zeira's point. The only reason why it doesn't work in this case is because I didn't know the bird was here, implying that in a normal situation, it would actually have an impact. So now Abaye is going to push back a little bit. Amarle Abaye, Tarnagola Shebiyavne Mayikala Mimar. What about the story of the chicken from Yavne? Now, the Gemara doesn't really explain what the story was, but as we'll see a little bit later on, the Gemara is going to go into a little bit more detail. But basically, in this story, right, the Gemara says later on that their intention was to feed, in other words, they had this chicken, and they wanted to feed it to a kusi. Now, again, we'll see later on whether or not that will make the bird potentially tameh. So the Gemara says, well, how are you going to justify that case where they declared the bird not tameh when it was alive? So Amar Lei said, no, Tarnagol Barahava, that was a wild chicken, a wild bird, and because it was wild, therefore, there was no way that they could have possibly had a machshava.
You're translating it, the first one was a hen, so that's a female, and the second one was a cock, which I'm saying is male.
I'm sorry, you're right. Well, in other words, okay, that's going to be part of the next Gemara. Basically, there was this chicken or a hen, whatever it was. That was in Yavne, and there were some kusim there who had a machshava to eat the bird.
So what's wrong with that?
No, so the question now became, is the bird now considered prepared to make someone tummy? Someone were to then swallow the meaning, the question was...
Why is it time to go tummy?
No, after it died.
This
would be like a nivlas oftar. It's the same story. Yeah, exactly. It's the same story. So the Gemara's response is, no, this kind of chicken or rooster, whatever it was wild. So because it was wild, it wasn't around at the time. Maybe that's why it wasn't going to be metami. So the Gemara says, achichu alei. So they laughed at this answer in Eretz Yisrael. They said, this answer makes no sense, because a wild chicken, a wild bird, is presumably not kosher. Now, that's kind of a big assumption, but that's the Gemara's assumption. It's not kosher. And a non-kosher bird does not make you tummy when you swallow it. Now, of course, you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher bird, but the Chiddush HaTorah of swallowing a nevela bird and making your clothing tummy is limited only to a kosher species of bird. So if this bird is not kosher, this whole halacha doesn't apply. So Amar Luhu Abai, so Abai says, Gavra Rabba Amar Losa, Losa Chichulale. He says, don't mock the answer that was given by these big Talmidei Chachamim. So what was the case here exactly? The Sarnagolas Shemarda, my bara di'ibarai mimara. The case was as follows. Really, the chicken was a normal chicken, and the chicken rebelled. The chicken ran away. It fled to the forest, and it had some babies, and then one of the babies that was born from that rebellious chicken came back into the farm or whatever it was.
So it's a
domesticated species of chicken, and therefore the halacha may still apply. So that's why Abai justifies the case. Rav Papa Amar, this was the point that Bruce was making before. Targagolta de agma havai. In reality, this was a female. This was a hen, right? Rav Papa letamei to Amar Rav Papa targagolta agma aser targagolta de agma sharia. Rav Papa draws a distinction. He says if it's male and it lives in the swamps and the marsh, then it's a problem to eat. Then it's considered a wild and it's a problem to eat. Whereas if it's a female type, if it's a hen, then it's okay. V'simaneich amoni velo amonis. The Gemara says if you want a mnemonic device to help you remember, so there's a drusha. That's a famous halacha from the Gemara Yevamos, the isser of marrying an amon is only for a male. So that's the way to help you remember this halacha, that the isser of eating the wild a bird only applies to the male species and not to the female. Darash Meremar, Tarnagolta da Agma Asira. So Meremar disagreed with Rav Papa. He said, no, even the female species from the swamps are Asir. Chazua Rabbanan did Darsava Achlava Hainu Gerusa. Because the rabbi saw that even the female species was wild, it attacked other birds, it was considered a predatory bird, and that was the bird known as Gerusa, and therefore that bird is also Asir. We know that the Mishnayos and Kulin tell us that any bird, any predatory bird is a problem. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, exactly. Tana Rabbanan. Gozo Shendaf. Yeah.
Birds that are in the wild, they're not kosher, or are they just doing
this touches on a not really a Nida topic at all, but really on a Chulin topic. There's a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Samach Gimel that discusses this at great length. There's a big machlokas in the Rishonim about this, right, about whether birds require a Masora. Right? Rashi in Chulin and the Rama in Shulchan Aruch quotes that birds do require a Masora. So this is one of the big controversies.
That's
regarding
like why Lubavitch says they don't eat turkey.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of the big controversies regarding turkey, is that in theory, you know, we only discovered turkeys in the 1600s, so, you know, there's no way we could have had a Masora on turkey. That's one of the arguments. So if you assume, like Rashi and the Rama, that you require a Masora for birds, so then that argument makes a lot of sense. If you hold like the Shulchan Aruch, if you hold like other Rishonim, that maybe you don't need a Masora for birds as long. In other words, there's a Gemara in Chulin that discusses a guy who's stranded in the desert somewhere, and he comes across an animal, and the animal seems to check all the boxes of being kosher. He just has no idea what the animal is. He has never seen it before. So that's a whole discussion whether that animal would be permissible to eat or not. So that kind of touches on that topic. It's not really relevant to our Gemara so much, but it's kind of just mentioned in passing a little bit.
Is that where this stems from, the wildness?
It touches on that. There are a lot of tshuvas, like for example, the Chasam Sofer has tshuvas about this. There was some sort of I forgot the exact species, some sort of like a duck that came from like Warsaw or something. So if it was a domesticated one, he says that it's mutter to eat. But if it's a wild one, and he describes like the different physical features, like, you know, the bill looks different and their feet look different. I don't know all the biology behind it, but that's the basic. Okay, the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan Gozo Shenafa Lagas the Chashav Alav Laaloso Lekusi Tame Lakelav Tahar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Omer Af Lakelav Tame. So we have a machlokas of that the following case. So you have a bird. The bird fell into a wine press and died, and, I don't know, drowned in the wine press, whatever it was. Man. What? Yeah, okay. I'm not that fancy. Yeah, I know what Coco Bennett is. Yeah. Okay. A bird exactly. So a bird falls into a wine press, and you are now intending to take the bird out of the wine press. So the question is, who are you planning to feed this bird to? So if you're planning to feed it to a kusi, so then according to the Tanakhama, that bird will be able to become tameh. Whereas if you're intending to feed it to a dog, it will not. But Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri says, no, even if you're planning to feed it to a dog, the bird can still become tameh. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, he says, Kal v'chomer. He says, I'm going to prove to you, based on a Kal v'chomer, that even if you're planning to feed it to a dog, it should still be able to become tameh. What's the Kal v'chomer? Im tameh tumah chamura shalo b'machashava, lo yidma tumah kala shalo b'machashava. He says, if you're telling me that this bird can transmit a much more serious type of tumah, namely, when I swallow the bird, it makes my clothing tameh, which is a really serious type of tumah, and that tumah can happen even without machshava, so then Kal v'chomer, the lesser type of tumah, which is the idea that food can transmit tumah to other foods, for sure should happen even without machshava. So Amru lo, so the Rabbanan responded to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, lo. They said that that's a faulty kal v'chomer. Im amarta betuma chamura shekein eino yoredes lechach. Tomar betuma kala shekein yoredes lechach. So we're gonna purposely leave this untranslated because the Gemara later on is gonna clarify what this kal v'chomer means, what the rebuttal is. So Amar lahen, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri responds to the chachamim, tarnagola shebiyam netochiach she yoredes lechach v'tim v'shal machshava. That story we alluded to earlier about the chicken from Yavne will prove my claim because it's yoredes lechach, which again we'll explain in a second what that means, and yet that chicken is still metame without machshava. So Amru lo, so the chachamim responds to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, misham raya, you're going to bring me a proof from this chicken from Yavne? Kusim hayusham v'chashu alel achila. No, there were kusim in that story, like we said before, and since those kusim were planning to eat the bird, to eat the chicken, that's why it was metame. Okay, so the Gemara now has to clarify all the details here. But my askina, like what's the case? Ilema bekrakim, if we're talking about a bird that fell into a wine press in the large cities, so the lama machshava, why do you even need machshava in the first place for this bird to become tame? The Hasnan, the Mishnah says, Nivlas behema tahora bechol makom, the Nivlas oftar v'hachila bekrakim, in tzrichin lo machshava v'lo hechsher. If you're in a big city, the assumption is you'll find somebody to eat your food, right? There's thousands of people in the city, so even if 90% of people are not going to want to eat, the bird that fell in the wine press, you'll find someone who wants to eat it. So when you're in the big city, you don't need machshava in order for a nivlas oftar or for chilev, for the forbidden fats to be eaten. And when it comes to a nivlas behema tahora, a species of a kosher bird that died without shchita, even if you're not in a city, that could still be matami without machshava. Okay, so the Gemara says you're right. We can't be talking about a big city. Elo bikfarim. We must be talking about a village, or a relatively small city where it might be harder to find someone to eat your food. So the Gemara asks, "Umi ika lamad amar de lo baya machshava? Is there really anyone out there who says that when you're in a village, you don't require machshava in order for that bird to be able to become tamei?" The Hasnam, the Mishnah says, "Nivlas behema tamei bechol makom, the nivlas oftar bikfarim tzricha machshava ve'ena tzricha hesh." The Mishnah states explicitly that if you're in a smaller city, in order for that nivlas oftar, for that bird to be metame, it needs machshava. Now, granted, it doesn't require hechsher, you don't need those liquids to touch it, but you need to have the thought process that you want to eat it. So, Amar Abzira Bar Chanina, Le'ola Mechrach, really we're talking about a large city, V'gito Ma'asto V'asa'ato Kikfar, the fact that the bird fell into a wine press made the bird disgusting, and therefore we now halachically view this large city like a village, because it's going to be even... Exactly, no one's going to want to eat it, even though there's 10,000 people in the city. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Kal v'chomer. So now we're going back to the Kal v'chomer that we quoted earlier. The Gemara is going to explain it. In betama tuma chamura shalom b'machashava lo sitma tuma kala shalom b'machashava. So he said, if this bird can be metame, a higher, more severe type of tuma, it can make your clothing tame even without machshava. So then Kal v'chomer, the lower type of tuma, of tumas ochlin, of merely making the food tame, for sure should be able to be imparted without machshava. So Amr lo, so the Chacham said, lo, that's a faulty Kal v'chomer. If amarta betuma chamura shekein eina yoredes l'chach. That was the phrase that we quoted earlier. So what does that mean? My eina yoredes l'chach, Amar Rava, hachi ka'amrili. This is what the Chachamim were responding to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Lo, im amarta betuma chamura shekein eina osekayotseva, when it comes to the higher standard of tuma of this nevela, it doesn't make you, when you swallow that bird, you don't take on the same level tuma as the bird. You become tame and your clothing become tame, but you're not tame to the same extent as the bird is. Whereas when you have food which is tame that touches other food that's tame, so midrabana, the food also takes on the status of tuma of the original food. So the Gemara says you have a quote unquote lighter type of tuma of tumas ochlin, and yet that lighter type of tuma is imparting a more severe halacha because it's making the second food tame to the same extent as the first food. So Amar le Abai, so Abai says, hang on a second, kol dechenu umatuma chamura dekila deina osa kayotseva metama shalom b'machashava tumakala dechamira de osa kayotseva eno dinsha metama shalom b'machashava. So Abai says, well, if you're telling me that the more severe type of tuma, which has a kula involved, namely that when you swallow the bird, you don't become tummy to the same extent, and that can, and you can become tummy without machshava. So kal v'chomer, the lighter type of tuma of tumas ochlin, which actually has a chumra associated with it, where the second food becomes equally tummy, it for sure should be imparted without machshava. So ela amar Rav Sheshes hachi kamar lo im amarta betuma chamura shekein in a tzricha hechsher tomar betuma kalash a tzricha hechsher. The Gemara revises the entire kal v'chomer. The Gemara says that this kal v'chomer has nothing to do with machshava, but rather it has to do with the question of hechsher, of whether this bird has to come into contact with the liquid in order for it to be able to become tameh. Okay.